You ever wonder? All of our preaching and all of our teaching sometimes doesn't seem to have much effect. Sometimes it seems like God's word and truth and the gospel just go right past people in one ear and out the other, as we express it. And it doesn't change lives. There's agreement, but conduct doesn't change. Thinking doesn't change. Lives, it often seems, aren't transformed. Time and again, I have seen people whose lives were literally a mess. Not just in prison, but poverty and health issues and legal problems. People with nothing literally to lose in this world. And yet they refuse the hope of the gospel. Refuse to embrace Jesus Christ. And so you wonder, does the word of God work? Has it lost its power? Or are you just an ineffective preacher? An ineffective herald? Jesus' parable of the soils helps us to understand this very issue. Why there are different responses to the gospel. And so often the message of the gospel seems ineffective. The parable of the soils, one of the first parables that Jesus taught. The setting for it, and as we have seen, the setting for parables is critical in understanding the parables. So again, if you would, look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke to them many things in parables. So Jesus is teaching on the shore, and the crowds gather and press upon him. And finally, there's so much crowding, he gets into a boat and pushes off from shore a little bit. And he begins teaching from the boat. It's a floating pulpit, kind of. And we're told that he teaches particularly in parables. You may have wondered, why did Jesus teach in parables? Why did he speak so much, verse 1, in parables? In fictitious stories. That's exactly what the disciples have wondered. So, verse 10. The disciples came to Jesus and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear nor understand." Jesus used parables to teach, to instruct his disciples the things of God, while at the same time hiding truth from the lost. Unbelievers would hear the words, they would hear the stories, but they would fail to understand and comprehend the truths that Jesus was seeking to communicate. This is exactly what Jesus addresses in this parable of the soils. Now, when a farmer plants a crop, say wheat, he carefully prepares the field. And we saw that this spring, didn't we? Huge tractors going over the fields, tilling them. And then the farmer plants the seed. And now, with modern technology, it's planted at a precise depth, at a precise space. And then the farmer goes out and fertilizes. And again, with modern GPS technology, a part of the field will get more fertilizer than the other part of the field. Amazing. In Christ's day, it was not quite so technical. The fields were plowed, but rather poorly by today's standards. A plow was pulled behind a team of oxen. Children, an ox is a cow, a special cow bred and developed to pull weights like a cart or a plow. The soil would be turned. Sometimes rocks would interfere, sometimes trees and roots. And the fields would end up as a result with all kinds of various conditions. Well, the farmer would go out and sow the seed. And that day they would take a bag of seed and hang it about the neck and walk across the field, throwing handfuls of seed broadcast style, and literally throw the seed out with not much control over where it would end up. Some of the seed would fall on paths. Paths that were hard packed because of decades of people walking on them. Some would fall on stones. Some on places with very thin soil. Some upon areas where the weeds were thick. And much would end up on soil that was tilled and deep enough for the seed to do well. And with time, the spring rains would come and the seeds would sprout. Those in the stony or weedy areas would not do well, not produce much, if anything. But those that fell on the good soil were fruitful, bringing forth an abundant harvest. Well, if the meaning of this parable isn't immediately clear to you, it wasn't clear to the disciples either. And so they asked Jesus, "What does that mean?" Again, Matthew chapter 13, now notice verse 18. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Well, a farmer sowing the seed on the different types of soil is a picture of spiritual truth. The seed is the word of the kingdom. It's the gospel. Peter uses this exact same picture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's word is the living seed. And it is God's word that brings eternal life. There have been many books written over the centuries. Even Ecclesiastes says, you know, the making of books, there's no end. There have been many good books. Many worthwhile, even excellent books, filled with wisdom and truth. But none can impart spiritual life. None can impart eternal life but the Word of God, the Word of the Kingdom. Like a kernel of wheat, God's Word may seem small, may seem insignificant, but it is powerful. And it can transform lives. Have you ever seen a seed sprout in a crack of concrete? And it grows and eventually breaks up that concrete even more and enlarges that hole? Unlike our words, the Word of God is powerful. It's living, it's active, and it does miraculous things. Think of this. It was God's word spoken that formed the heavens and the earth. As the word of God takes root in the heart, as it germinates and grows, it produces new life. And eventually it produces fruit. But to do that, the seed has to be sown. The seed is spread by a sower, Jesus says. The sower is the one who throws out the seed of the gospel. And Jesus, of course, is the sower, isn't he? This parable explains much about Jesus' ministry. Jesus sowed the seed of the word of the kingdom. Many received the word with gladness. Crowds came, just as in this Matthew 13 story. The multitudes came and crowded Jesus so much he had to move off into a boat. But mostly, the word of Christ, the seed that Jesus cast out, did not take root in people's hearts. Many heard the wonderful teachings of Christ. They saw his mighty works. They saw his amazing miracles and healing, even the raising of the dead. And yet, just a few months later, they were crying out to Pilate to crucify him, to kill him. But this is also a picture of all believers who share the Word of God, the gospel. As believers sowing the seed of the gospel, you are sowing seed. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He says, I planted, he threw out some seed. Apollos watered, he threw out some seed, but God gave the increase. Jesus said something very similar in John chapter 4, verse 36. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored for. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. We sow the seed as Christ sowed the seed. The seed is sown in many different ways. Sowing the seed is not just the task of pastors or missionaries. It can be quiet conversations with co-workers. It can be answering the questions of your children or grandchildren or nephews or nieces. It can be sown through Gideon Bibles or tracts or the radio or the internet. But all of this is just sowing. It's broadcasting the seed. It's not harvesting. In fact, the sower doesn't see an immediate harvest at all. Indeed, much of the seed sown produces no fruit at all. Jesus explains why this is so. He talks about the seed falling on four different types of soil. And these soils represent different kinds of hearts that respond to God's word, to the gospel, in different ways. Jesus says some of the seed, some of the gospel, falls on the wayside, verse 19. This is a well-worn footpath. It's packed down. It's hard. And nothing will grow on it. The seed is sown and falls on top of it, only to be seen and eaten by birds, Jesus says. And Jesus says this is a person that hears the gospel, but has no understanding of its value, no comprehension of its worth. And Satan comes along and snatches away that truth. These are the hard-hearted, the spiritually cold, spiritually indifferent. The gospel finds no reception. And the crowds around Jesus, this would probably be referring to the Jewish leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they despised Christ. They despised his message of grace. They had no desire to learn from him. They had no desire to gain greater spiritual understanding. Their minds were closed to spiritual truth. And they could hear God's word. They even studied it. They were experts at understanding it. But there was no hearing. And there was no true comprehension of the truth of the gospel. And so there was no delight in the things of God. And the seed took no root. Then verses 20 and 21, there was a stony ground. Stones with just a little bit of dirt over them. It looks good and it looks promising. The seeds sprout even. But they have no roots. No roots means no water. So the hot sun quickly brings death. These would be the shallow-hearted, the superficial, the emotional. And the multitudes that followed Christ, many were excited about Jesus. They were anticipating what Jesus would do. The overthrow of Rome, freedom for Israel, a new earthly kingdom of greatness and prosperity. So they welcomed Jesus. In fact, they welcomed him, didn't they, with hosannas and the waving of palm branches and celebration as he came. But he did not give them what they wanted. And so they turned on him and they abandoned his cause and joined the crowd, crying for his crucifixion. Today, many hear the gospel. Today, many even profess Christ. But it's only a superficial faith, just words. Often, an emotional belief, an emotional response. I'm afraid many churches today use that as a technique, entertainment. Programs, all to attract people. But there's no root. Mere profession. And when the difficulties and realities of life come along, when they hear doctrinal truths that they do not like, when afflictions descend, they fade away. For they are not really in Christ. Professors? Yes. But not possessors. Some seed fell on weedy ground, Jesus said, verse 22. This would be those with dual affections. Seed that sprouts up, but the weeds are thick and choke it out. So they never amount to anything and they do not produce fruit. In Jesus' day, there were those who sought to follow Him and at the same time hold on to the things of the world. They tried to have both God and the world. You remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? And he truly desired eternal life. And Jesus talked with him. Finally told him, well, you have a lot of stuff. Go sell all of your stuff, give away the money, and come and follow me. But he wouldn't, because he loved the world more than he loved God. John writes about this very problem. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. He says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Many today hear the word of God. They hear the good news of eternal life and sins forgiven in Christ. And there's an interest and a concern about spiritual things, even a profession of faith in Christ. But the cares of life, the bills, the problems, even the pleasures, come along and crowd out the word and keep it from developing. And so it bears no fruit. The proof of life, the proof of salvation in Jesus Christ is fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, you will know them by their fruit. James says, chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed. The Holy Spirit is in the business of producing the fruit of the Spirit. And He does that in those who are born again. Verse 23, some of the seed falls on good ground. Much of the farmer's seed would fall on good soil, prepared and ready for the seed. And healthy plants would grow, and the soil would nurture those seeds. And fruit would be the result. This is the one that is truly born again. Of the thousands of those who followed Christ, the thousands that watched Him do miracles, who listened to His miraculous teaching, this word from God Himself. Of all of those thousands, at the end, there were only maybe 500 that were truly saved. and committed to Him. Only a few of all that heard received the seed with gladness. It settled in. It grew and bore fruit of faith and obedience. As we sow the seed of the word of the kingdom, the gospel, some of that seed will fall upon hearts that have been prepared by the Spirit of God. Hearts that have been tilled, if you will, by God. Hearts that have been ready to receive the gospel. And the result is not just a profession of faith, an acknowledgement of the gospel being true, but genuine receiving of the gospel, entrusting oneself to Christ Himself, and spiritual transformation, where the Spirit of God is truly working and fruit is produced. Some thoughts of application, if you will. As a Christian, you can sow the wrong seed. Galatians chapter 6 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Proverbs 6:19 warns about this in a different direction. There, the scripture says, "A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren, will bring calamity upon himself." The results of sowing the wrong seed is costly. Costly in this life and costly in eternity. Instead, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to be sowing the seed of the gospel. The very last words of Jesus on earth commands to you, his disciples, "You shall be witnesses of me." And he goes on to say, "unto the uttermost parts of the earth." If you want to reap a harvest, if you want to see the lost converted and disciples made, you must sow the seed of the gospel. And yet, the other side of it is, you need to expect failure. We serve the King of Kings. We serve a God who is absolutely sovereign and can do anything. But do not think that you can succeed more than Christ succeeded. Think about this. The teaching of Christ was perfect. He never misspoke. He never misanswered when a question was asked of him. His teaching was perfect. His life was perfect. He was perfect in love, perfect in righteousness. He did great miracles. Most of the people Christ taught, however, most of the thousands that heard him and saw him and witnessed him did not believe. Do not expect that everyone you witness to will believe. You should even expect, and the scripture promises this, hostility and rejection. You will see some profess, and yet quickly or eventually fall away. Ultimately, you need to understand who is building the kingdom, who it is that brings in the harvest. Your responsibility is not to produce a harvest, just to sow. This is where Charles Finney, in those of the Arminian persuasion get it wrong. It is not our methods that produce faith in the lost. It is the Spirit of God working through the Word of God. That's where the power is. That is what is effectual. So Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Your duty as a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Christ, is simply to obey him and to share the gospel and be a faithful servant, an obedient servant. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." God does the drawing. God brings about new birth. God prepares the soil of the heart. God produces the fruit. You are not held accountable for the results, for the size of the harvest. You are simply called to be a faithful, obedient servant to your Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah wrote, chapter 55, verse 10, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall the word be that goes forth from my mouth," that is God's mouth, "it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So in faith, Christian, sow the seed of the gospel. Share the good news of Jesus Christ to those that are lost in darkness, confident that the Holy Spirit will work through you sowing the seed of the gospel. Some will fall on rocky, hard soil, but some will fall on good soil, and God will bring a harvest. In Acts chapter 18, verse 19, we read, "The Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. And God told Paul, 'Do not be afraid, but speak. Do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city.'" If you are faithful in obeying the Word of God, faithful in sowing the seed of the gospel, you will see fruit. You will see it in your family, you will see it in the church, you will see it in the world. For Christ is building his church. He is bringing in a harvest. The gates of hell cannot stand against it. But the power is not in you. The power is in the gospel and in our King. Even though we are weak, even though we are sinful, the amazing thing is God wants you to be a sower of his seed.